Let's open our Bibles. We are going to take the declaration of the glory of the Lord this morning. I'd like us to read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 45. Okay, we're going to start from verse 18, and we're reading all the way to verse 25. All right, one, two, let's go. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in some dark land. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in a waste place. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declaring the things that are upright. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only the Lord our righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry with him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Read verse 24 again. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Say that again. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And that's what we are preaching. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Heavenly Father, we magnify you again this morning. And we say, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. We have come to you for righteousness. We have come to you for strength. Lord, our hearts are open. Thank you, Lord, for granting our desires in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, because we know you have heard us, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given his spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. Is healing me in every area, and is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. So let's take our seats. The book of John chapter 3 is where we'll start from today. Let me just remind us, it's been a long series. That's what we've been on since we started teaching on Saturdays this year. But we started by looking at the man Nathanael. And that's because Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed. Remember that terminology? When the Lord looks at it, the word Israel, Israelite, you must be, please remember, it's very important you bear this in mind. There's Jerusalem from heaven, that's from above, and there's Jerusalem from beneath. I hope I get my point. There is what the Bible calls the Israel of God. Okay? And Israel of God includes both natural Israel and natural Gentiles, what the Israelites will call Gentiles, basically those who are not Israelites, okay? And there's only one passport to entry into that. What's the passport?
Jesus.
Yes, faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the passport. That is the key to entry. And Jesus made it clear. One thing about Christ Jesus is that in Jesus, he made both into one. Please, if you're a preacher, stop separating them. The promise of God are fulfilled where?
Christ.
There is no promise God made that is fulfilling outside Christ. Once Christ came, he had fulfilled his promise. It's as Christ is manifested that you will see the manifestation of the promise. So that's why Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the rule for everybody. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promises of God. As he's manifesting in you, the fulfillment will manifest outwardly. Don't look for the fulfillment of any promise outside Christ Jesus. Don't. So, he has, you know, Paul made it clear. One of the things that Jesus did is that he broke down the wall of partitioning. A lot of times I see preachers raise up the wall of partitioning and magnify the partition. Please, if you're a minister of the gospel, you must downplay the partition. You say, okay, but God promises land and all of that. Jesus said, your house will be left to you desolate until you see. Remember, the passport is what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Say, until you see, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By that time, you have believed in the Son. We're back to what we're saying. If you have not accepted the Son, you are outside currently the covenant of God. The promise of God is not applicable in your life. Sometimes I want to tell my colleagues in preaching, that you preaching Christianity or what? If you want to preach Christianity, preach it completely. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. A lot of people are ashamed, especially in a place like America, they are politically ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel has very strong connotation when it comes to politics. It has a very strong connotation in politics. Okay, if you preach the truth, they can label you. So some of our prominent preachers feel under obligation to twist the truth off the balance slightly. Slightly. And not accept that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. The only passport into the fulfillment of the promise of God is Christ Jesus. If you preach that truth, they give you a label. You know, this is, I understand what Paul meant when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, the Bible will never say that if there's no cause for shame. Like I say all the time, I mean, if I drive a very decent car, I wear very nice clothes, I'm well-to-do, why would I tell you I'm not ashamed of the gospel? What is there to be ashamed of? Is it my nice ride? Is it the hundreds of millions of naira I have to spend or millions of dollars I have to spend? Is that what I should be ashamed of? By the time a man says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, just know that if it's well presented, like I say, if he says, my enemy, don't rejoice over me, because when I fall, I shall rise again. No man standing says that. So when a man says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, just know sometimes sticking to the truth, it makes you ashamed. In the days of intellectual reasoning, you look like you don't have sense. Again, please, let me just take a small aside and talk to people. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, so it's possible to be ashamed of him. You know, to stand by the truth and for the truth, people will insult you. They should. That's why the Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, to do what, see, if everything you are doing is very popular, sometimes I feel sorry for some of my colleague pastors. They are trending on social media. Unbelievers are giving them thumbs up. I say, but I suspect you're not preaching the gospel. We like to trend. We say things people want to hear. If they have not been disagreeing with you and abusing your social media, you know you are not preaching the whole truth. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you should know. The other day I saw some people, they did a video, a movie, and put it online. And everybody was saying, hey, yeah, nice, nice, nice. I said, you people are telling lies. You see, it's lies you are telling. Because you see all the comments, very unchristian, anti-Christ comments, but positive. Oh, thank you for telling us this lie. We cannot hide behind the lie. And people were, oh, thank you, thank you. I said, but everything you guys just did now, this is a lie. You know the lie? That which will kill your blessing if they know about it. So because it's blessing, you hide it.
so that witches will not know. Because if they know, they will destroy it. I'm saying, no wonder I've not been making progress. I've been telling people about the blessing in my life. If you see the comments. That's why I've not been making progress. So I've been telling people about the blessing in my life. I said, And people were very happy. I've got those who made the video. They were very happy. Ignorant people are giving you thumbs up. Those who have not read their Bibles are giving you thumbs up. People are disobeying God in their personal life, but would rather brave their uncle and their auntie, who's a witch, supposedly. They are giving you thumbs, and you're happy, and you do another one. I hope you get to hear this rebuke I'm giving you. If you won't listen to it, God will rebuke you by himself. See, he will. See, you don't get the point. He has to. The truth is more important to him than the success of your ministry. He will shut you down in a dramatic measure. So let us correct with the truth. He prepares a table before me in the presence of... That's the word of God. There's no enchantment against Jacob. No divination works against Israel. Please, I love that in the New Living Translation. He said, no magic works against Israel. He said, don't let them know, don't let them know. Anybody tells you that does not know the power of God. He said, you err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. I said, you're not making progress because people know when God is blessing you. So you want to travel, you hide it from the witches. Should I tell you ahead of time? They know. As soon as you start your car, they can see. And they don't need preparation. You understand? It's not a machine gun they are using. It's corner eye. And they cut eye like that, your tire will go down. If they could, they would, but they can't. Are you getting my point? God says, I will disgrace you if you are afraid of them.
Yes, sir.
God takes some things personal. Shh, don't tell them. Why? The witches may hear. God says, oh. Is it as you say in their hearing that will happen to you, or as you say in my hearing? Do you know the truth? Christians are more afraid of witches than God. On the average. They are. If God says, don't go there, I say he's merciful. If which is say, don't go there, he will kill you. No, what I said now, think about it. Just think about it for a moment. They disobey God, they don't have any problem. But if they don't go out at night, they won't go out. They say it's wisdom. They say you have to be wise. You are afraid, don't lie. It's not wisdom, it's called fear. It's called fear. The truth can make us shame. That's the point I'm trying to make in all of these things. So if you are not popular, it doesn't mean you are wrong. That's just the way this world is. And please, go and learn the truth and stand by it, because God is looking out and watching, counting those who will gladly stand by truth. Most people don't wish to because it costs them. They don't wish to. One day, one guy talked. I was angry. I told my wife that time. You know, in a chat group, he said something. I told my wife, I said, I know him. These things he said, he doesn't believe them. He's just trying to belong. Because sometimes people think that the more you criticize government, the more enlightened you are. But an average person does not know anything. One day, two major politicians in Nigeria were pardoned, who were in prison, both of them, I think, for corruption or something. At least one I remember for corruption. Big politician. Trial that lasted years. Eventually, they were convicted and they were put in prison. Then one day, we woke up in the morning to read the newspapers that they were pardoned, the last federal executive. Is it state executive council? You know, there are two councils. I think that one of those councils had met Shah and granted, of course, they recommended, and the president went ahead and signed it and pardoned both of them. Hey, how can an anti-corruption president, pardon corrupt public officers. So somebody asked me, my classmate, no, I told you we chat. Say, Banky, what do you have to say about that? I said, I missed the meeting. I did not go. That's all I said. But he got my point. I don't know. I was sleeping when they were having the meeting, so I did not participate in the debate. Why do you want me to comment on what people are... You don't know what they discussed. You don't know their considerations. I'll give you an idea, just to give you an idea. I'm not saying it's right, just to give you an idea. You know of this thing, this big scandal in America till now, of this pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein and all of that, who died in detention. Most people believe that he was murdered. His brother said, that guy would never commit suicide for anything. And then suddenly, you know, all cameras did not work. The guards did not check. There's this guy, former mob boss, who's now a Christian, been a Christian for a long time, and he preaches. He said, I've been in that prison. You can't even go to the toilet without the guards looking at you. He said, so how will you commit suicide? And nobody saw it. But that's not the way I'm going. That's just more gist. A lot of people believe it was murdered. Some say it's not true. The pathologist, one pathologist looked at it, said, this is murder. This is not strangulation. He said, it's not hanging. He said, it's more in keeping with strangulation. Anyway, so they asked the police, some of the FBI guys who have investigated him before, that you guys saw all of this happening, or the state where they caught him committing some crimes, sex trafficking of children. Why did you not do anything? One guy said, we tried. We were told to back off, that he belongs to the intelligence community. Did you hear that? That from very high level, somebody said, look, drop that investigation. People are now thinking that he was being handled by between CIA and Mossad. And they were using it to control world leaders. They are now thinking. Now, one thing is, so if you sit down and comment, hey, you are commenting. You don't know what some people are considering. What am I saying? That's why it's not, you don't comment on everything. Especially publicly. So that they went to the guy and said, what do you have to say about the pardon those two mega politicians? I said, I'm sorry. I missed the deliberation in which they discussed state security matters. Things that cannot be published. And you want me to comment? I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. That's what Solomon said, anger lies in the bosom of fools. The word fools there is not an insult. It's a description for the amount of knowledge you do not have concerning a situation. Sometimes you see reading the news, hey, somebody died. I say, what did the doctors do? What were the nurses looking at? You look at them and say, you don't know the job of doctors, you don't know the job of nurses. Say, why did they set a line? Say, you don't know what a line is. Spell it. What is it used for? Just be commenting. Until one day, I was in a clinic in Lagos, working in a hospital. I had a patient that has severe gastroenteritis. And the relatives came in. The woman staying with the woman that came out. He doesn't know what they're doing, no. She doesn't know what they're doing, no. They're not doing anything. All they are giving her is water. That drip, you know, infusion. That's how they say it in that side. They're just giving you water. Unfortunately, I was in a room. She was staying at the door of the room where I was. There was no light in that room. My friend and I were sitting and they were gisting. He said, so if my guy just kept quiet, we kept quiet. I allowed the woman to finish talking. And out of the dark, my voice arose. And I said, if you guys don't like what we are doing, you understand, you're free to take your relative somewhere else. She wanted to enter the ground. There were two men. They were now begging me. And she didn't mind her. She didn't know what she didn't know what she was saying. Those of you who know, when you have severe gastroenteritis, what will kill you is dehydration and electrolyte imbalance. That's what's going to kill you, is dehydration and electrolyte imbalance. And we fight that with infusions. We keep on changing the kind of... But look, I remember one farming community, when I was a house officer, they brought a lot of people with cholera. Oh, my friends and I worked. We literally, I still remember my friend, he would put an infusion and squeeze it by hand. Yeah, into the patient. Bam! Remove it. Give me the next one. Because these guys were dry. You touch their skin. The only way to resuscitate them is to put water, 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 water. There's nothing you can do. But those who don't know, they thought we didn't know what we were doing. And of course, the woman did very well. She, but a few days later, she was discharged. That, well, I won't think it's water, 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 because shortly after those we left, they came back like past 12 midnight. The next we heard, hey, come on, my friend said, oh, they've gone to bring the pastor on duty. No, the whole, the place was vibrating with prayer. Even if you are the demon, you will go, you will leave. Because that prayer went ahead that day. You will leave. So I don't know whether it's a water, 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 or whatever it is. But that woman got well. It was the way my friend said, he said, oh, they've gone to get the pastor on call. Okay, that's what he said. So the doctors on call were doing their own. The pastor on call was doing his own. And believe me, hey, please, if you are sick, get the pastor on call. You hear what I said? What did I say?
Get the pastor on call.
For those who are in the business, you know, electrical imbalance can be difficult to manage. And the heart is so sensitive to it. Potassium level goes to a particular level. The heart just starts beating. Just starts beating. And we say, oh, we used to see those things. They love it. It's babies who come with severe diarrhea. You try everything. You did everything. You just said the baby's not breathing again. You do everything, forget. That child is gone. So get the pastor on call. Oh. So don't make it look like, get the, what did I say?
Get the pastor on call.
It doesn't have to be a pastor of a church. It can be your friend. Your brethren. Call them. Like my, you know, the other minister, the one I'm talking about, he's a doctor, just like I am. He's a preacher. He's a teacher of the word. That's what he does, teaches. And he's also a medical doctor. And he teaches in university, in the, teaches second, third year medical student. He's older than I am. He said, if you are going to hospital, pray. You know, I used to say, no matter how mild the problem is. He said, even if you are going to greet the doctor, pray. When he said, I said, oh, his one is worse than my own. He said, even if you are not sick, you just want to go and greet the doctor. He said, please pray before you go. He said, because he has seen things. But let's not sit on that matter, okay? What I'm saying is that don't comment on what you don't understand. Ask questions. Ask questions. I'm saying all of this just to emphasize the fact that the truth is not always popular, but stand by it. When we want to start abusing government, just keep quiet. Say, I don't know why. You say, what is going on in this country? Say, I don't know. You know why you say you don't know? Because you don't know. Let's stand by the truth, even though it's not popular. That's what I'm saying, all of these things. And again, let me repeat that the truth, and the, of course, the main truth is Christ Jesus. The doctrine of Christ is not always popular. Even in church. Even in church. Even in church. It's not always popular. The truth of Christ is not always popular. I say that and I stand by it. If Paul came today physically, in most of our churches, he will not be allowed to preach. Yeah, because his preaching will not draw the crowd, it won't draw the offering. He will call people to a kind of righteousness and dedication that we did not, one way or the other, we didn't see in his messages, even though they are clear there. What we saw in his messages is liberty. When he gives you the practical meaning of liberty, some of us will think he's not Paul. We won't like him. You invite him once, so it's the second time that will be the problem. The Lord is good. So, I started this by saying, just to emphasize the meaning of what? Israel of God. And now we want to talk about how we should stand by the truth. So, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed. Please pardon me when I preach like this. You learn many things along the way. Okay? So, I'll get back to the main thing we are teaching today. That's why I like to have time. That's why I like to have time. Will you give me time? Will you say no?
You can't say no. I'm standing right here. Even if, like my wife said, even if you say, and she has married me for 26 years plus, so she knows, even if you say no. This is precious. I said, Ijoma said, chai. I said, this girl don't suffer. 26 years. Don't worry, she hasn't suffered. She has enjoyed me. Yes. One day somebody looked at my wife. He said, you should go and pay bride price again. I said, for what will I do? I said, my papa's supposed to refund me money. So, boy, you try. The Lord is good. Just as an aside, one day I actually went and paid bride price again. I did. Just for the fun of it. My parents in law were so they were. My mother-in-law said, thank you. You come up with all kinds. I gathered my friends. All met in my father-in-law's house and made a very nice speech. One of them made a very nice speech and how they've been very good to me. They gave me a wife long ago when I didn't deserve anything. Yeah, he actually said it like that. Like that it was just pity that they pitied me. So they want to appreciate. And they did the normal Niger Delta style. The broke cola, we wear the cola, did everything. We did everything as if we came to marry. So they say we just came to say thank you. How many? I think we're 10 years after, right? I think we're like our 10th anniversary. I gathered my friends. We came as if we came to beg for a wife. They say, no, this time around, we came to say thank you. Some of you should do things like that. That's why your mother-in-law doesn't like you. You have turned the woman to a witch for nothing. You are not a nice guy. Have you noticed that if you are a witch, if you bring cow and you prostrate, they will forget all your witchcraft and forgive you. Even if they don't need your cow, you have a good heart, a good boy. The way you are behaving, if I give you my daughter, I will collect her back. I will put her for house until you have gone to change your mind. The Lord is good. We'll get to our message, but I need to stay in that place. Yes, I will stay there. A lot of people have... See, let me just say something to you. Sound doctrine brings out good in you. Yeah, it does. What do I mean by sound doctrine brings out good in you? I have in-laws. Are you getting my point? My mother-in-law has passed on now. My father-in-law is there, alive and well. He's turning 80 now. I've never had problems with them. Yeah, never. Not to me, I've never disagreed on anything, but I respect my elders. If I disagree on anything, I keep quiet. And I'm not suspicious of anybody. That's where I was going. Thank God I have in-laws who don't do witchcraft. I mean, like, they don't look at people and say, you be witch, you be witch, you be witch. If you have, what I'm saying so is that, please, some of us, we have in-law problems because of our wrong doctrines. Anytime you see your mother-in-law, you see a witch. Why? Because you go to a very, very useless church. I chose my words carefully. I think you should stop going there. Any church that keeps pointing at people in your home as witches, they are bad people. That your pastor is false. Let me tell you something Christians don't like to hear, and I will say it. You know, I told you earlier, truth is not popular. If your church gathers and they came, all the witchcraft against you, stop going. At least for that period of their witchcraft gathering. It's a very useless African thing we have refused to grow out of. Are there witches? I hear some. Really, do I care? Let me tell you something. I've been saying it again. I just pray you believe it. There are two types of witches. There are fake witches and there are genuine witches. All right? Any witch that's not afraid of you is fake. Hey, where's our... He told me a story where he stays. There was really one is a wine in that his compound. One day he came home, the woman had packed. The woman packed and left. He didn't have to do anything to her. Everybody was afraid of her. He just wasn't. And I believe that one is real. If she has stayed, then she's fake.
Because a real one will know who's there. The woman packed and left. So anybody who's beating chess for you, I will show you. Just know that person. He's either totally fake or he has a death wish. Because if you had eyes, no. It would be nice to you. It would be nice. So when you see the one making noise, they not get power. I will show you the kind of person I am. You are nothing. I don't know how many of you ever watched mafia movies. The don will tell you, never show your anger. Tell nothing of yourself. I'm quoting a particular don. I don't want to say the name of the movie, so you won't go and be looking for it. So all those people making noise and threatening you, they have nothing. They have nothing. They have nothing. Those really have power, they don't make noise. But like I was saying, those who really have spiritual power, anytime they identify a Christian, they back off. Because they know the kind of hedge God has placed around. When they have eyes, they leave it. If you go and meet a real babalawo, say, who is the person? Say, this pastor. Ah! Or this brother. You say, can't you talk about this thing? Say, Baba, no, I won't talk. He say, I will just advise you, go and talk. No, there's no need. Because the guy doesn't want to get into trouble. He will be the one. So if he doesn't advise you, he doesn't have. Go and read Balaam's story in the Bible. Balaam told Balak, oh boy, take it easy. As long as they're under the cover of the Almighty, there's nothing you can do. I'm saying, look, all these false doctrines, they've turned your mother to a witch. It's the reason why you will not prosper. You are not well. You know. You see, you are sick. They say your mother is the cause of. Have you gotten well now? You that I'm talking to. Shebi, they say your mother is a problem. You have not talked to her now in 6 months. Have you gotten well? Your matter has gotten worse. Before, it was only diabetes you had. Now you can't see in one eye. So they say, you know what they will not tell you? Your auntie has joined. Then you will not talk to your auntie. Let me just tell you, see, the you that I'm talking to, the second eye will soon go. It always goes. Because the few people who are praying for you in this life, you are cutting them off bit by bit. You wicked soul. Let me tell you where your problem came from. Market. Not your neighbor in the market. The cheating. All the fake products you sold, as it's falling in their hands, they say, this man, God will punish him. He's counting. Once we are telling you, God will punish you, they are writing it down. There's a cup, really, literally, in spiritual things. There's a cup, there's a measure. So, hey, God will punish him. One demon and one angel. They will mark it. And the number of God will punish him that you need to get before your punishment starts is 85. Do you get my point? So many people, they are on 72 right now as I'm talking. And they brought a consignment of fake goods and you want to collect and sell. Don't worry. The person I'm talking to, your own has reached over, and your boys are sitting in the shop now adding to it too. You are sick, you're not going to work, but your boys are there working. And this man, very useless man, he told me he was a genuine one. God will punish him. Then they take it again. And instead of you to solve that problem, you went to a church where they are firing at witches and they are focused, they've looked around. Witches are usually women, right? Which is not true. The most wicked was Balaam, a woman. Apart from the witch at Endor, how many women did you see in the Bible that were doing those things? Balaam was the most potent of them all. Was a man. But those who don't know now, they're women, witch. Okay, fine. So they told you it's your mother, then they added your auntie. Meanwhile, your boys are sitting in the market, adding to the tick. Listen, by the time that tick hits 150, you'll be blind in both eyes, and you'll be hearing with only one ear. And you'll still be going to the fake church. That time they will not add your grandfather to it. Who died how long ago? That they need to break the curses of 3 generations. Nonsense. When you believe lies, that's when you have unnecessary problems. They tell you that since you married, the day you were married, do you know your mother-in-law was sitting down?
Her leg was paining her. What is wrong with you? The woman had arthritis. She couldn't get up and let's say she did not dance. If you have her kind of leg and waist problem, will you dance? That she got up from the bed to come and attend your wedding. You should be grateful to God. And they say, that day, she was sitting down. No? She sat on your destiny. Okay, but she got up since that time. Has your destiny recovered? No. See, some of you men, you are listening to me. You don't go home now, you know, because of what I've just said. You want to know the truth? You are not going to be helped. That's not where your help is. You know what the Bible says? In returning and in rest, that's how you'll be saved. Please, I just want to sit on that thing for a short period. Please, you know, I say it once in a while. Because you know why I have to keep saying is that people go and hear lies a lot of times. Please, witches should never feature in your prayer. Don't worry. They don't feature in my prayer. For me, one of the saddest things about ministry, for me personally, is I have to talk about it. That's a part of my ministry I don't like. But I have to. I have to, just like you were saying, you were not talking about geographical issue yesterday. Yeah, it has to reflect. It never, ask my children, they're all here. It has never, ask my wife, it has never featured in our prayer in the house. We have not said whatever which is against us. We have never said it. That line has never been said once. In 20-something years of praying with my wife, I have never said it. Never. When we live here, we don't discuss it. Have I had problems? Yeah. Yeah. Tell me. First pregnancy my wife had, the child died. 8 months of pregnancy. Oh, you think I've ever had problems? I sat on the floor and cried. My wife did not know. Oh, you think I've not had problems? You think I've not had? So, you think I've not had problems? I've had, though. But one of my sisters, the child died. Took ill. She just went out to work. But then he came back. It was small fever. Came back, the child was dead. Of course, we all mourned, went, comforted her, prayed with her, did everything. One woman now came, her neighbor now came, said, my sister. They have seen it too. See, all those of you go to seeing churches. See, you are walking blindly. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You are walking blindly. He said, they have seen it too. Say, what happened? When somebody sits in your sitting room and is whispering, the person is a liar. Now pointed to one woman nearby. We heard though that Mama Ifeanyi, she's a witch. So that our prophet says she's the one that killed your baby. The grieving woman, a woman that knows the word of God, she burst into laughter and laughed. I said, my sister, come on, be going. Seriously. Seriously. He said, my sister, come on, be going. Come on, be going. I said, no witch has enough power on this earth to take my child. So I'll solve my problem between me and my God. Please come and be going. These are the create unnecessary enemies. I keep on, see, all your, the people I'm talking to, your in-law problems, nothing but false doctrine. I know the painful part. The in-laws don't know what they did to you. They don't know what they did to you. They don't know. What did we do to this guy? They are confused. I'll tell you two stories. One guy I know, one day he got home and his wife had left. So he thought, the way it is. Sometimes I get home, my wife is not back. And I'm like, Mama, why you never come back at this time of the day? So he waited, 8:30. So he called and she answered the phone. Okay, Hafa, how come you are not home at this time? He said she went to her parents' place. Now he was upset that, see, I know we and your parents live in the same city.
but you are a married woman now. They married by a year and a half before that. Stay in your house now. If you want to visit your parents, we will go together. And if you want to stay over, let me know, you know? So that upset me. Let me make a long story short. She never came back. That's more, he left the house in the morning. She never came back. Sonny was talking to me. He said, what is driving me mad right now? He said, I don't know what happened. The guy sat with me. He said, Oga. He said, what is driving me crazy? Is I don't know what happened. That if just somebody would tell me that, okay, this was what I did not do. He went everywhere. I know some of the people he went to talk to the priests. The priests called them. Of course, they had to mediate. Finally, the priest had to annul the marriage to let the guy go on with his life. And the girl had nothing to tell them. So when I asked him, the only thing I asked him, I said, do they visit prophets? Now, that's where I'm going. I said, only prophets do this to people. Please, if you have not, go and listen to my series, The Error of the Prophets. I think it's in our podcast. If it's not there, it should come back after a while. The Error of the Prophets. These prophets are deadly. I told him, I said, listen, let me just tell you. The only thing that can explain this is prophets. They told her something. You know why I said prophets? Because the girl's father, you know, in the Catholic Church, they have what they call sponsors.
Yeah.
The sponsor called the girl's father. Like, it's like a counselor. All right. So, like a senior couple that you go to talk if there are issues. Okay. Uh-huh. So, the sponsor called the girl's father and asked, because they are the same age category, what is going on? You know what the girl's father said? Hey, it's her decision. By the time your daughter is walking out of a marriage and you are saying, it's her decision. No. What does that mean? You know about it. Yeah, you are part of it. Hey, there's nothing he can say now. It's her decision. By the time the girl's father was saying that, it was clear he was in cahoots, like they say, with her. And he knows. I said, this is what prophets do. The other story, a woman died. I mean, death is bad, right? But you know it happens. As bad as it is, it happens. She had a child before she died. And after she died, her husband, her husband, the boy's father, from her family, he shields the boy 100%. I was talking to the late woman's elder sister, said they've not been able to see the boy. Ah, I felt bad. I said, again, you can see. What is the issue? You know, you can tell. What is the issue? What did the prophet say? The girl's family, they are witches. They are the ones that killed their own daughter. Those prophets, I've told God, punish them quickly. There are things we pray for mercy for, not for false prophets. I don't understand because the destruction that they do, the destruction they do is frightening. Young man, I read his story, and he was insulting intelligent people. His father had a master's degree. The mother was a chartered accountant or something, I don't know, but two highly educated parents he had. One went to one church that had fire in their names. There are many churches with fire. All right, there are many. You know, I mean, in Nigeria, you will see thousands of them. So you don't know what I'm talking about. So one went with church that had fire in their name. What happened was that somebody, the daughter in the family, fell sick. One of the children in the family, and died. So the man went to one church. The woman went to the church with fire, and they said to her, that her husband is a cultist. He used the girl for sacrifice to make money. The other, the man went to a branch of a very good church. RCCG is a good church, is it not? But you know, there's one problem with churches that have thousands of branches. There are crazy people pastoring some of the branches. A lot, some of those pastors are not even born again. It's true now. So this is not casting aspersion on any church. And the other one, I didn't tell you the name. This one I can tell you because we know it's a good church. But then, when you have plenty of people, Jesus Christ had only 12. One Satan was amongst them. So if you have 1,000 and you have only 1 out of 12 being Satan, you try now. But since you are not Jesus, you should have at least 20%. The branch that this guy went to, the pastor there, now one of these fake prophets, he told the woman, the man, that his wife is a witch. She has eaten the daughter. Did you hear what I said? Man went to, a woman went to fire church, a fire branded church, thank you. And he told his husband, now occultist, the cult demanded the life of the girl for prosperity's sake. The man went to a church. The pastor, fake pastor there, told him that his wife ate the daughter. So let's make a long story short. This family now scattered because a child died. See, I work in a hospital. Children die every day. I'm not saying it's a good thing. They die for all kinds of reasons. One of the annoying reasons is malaria. Rotavirus, diarrhea, all kinds of stupid reasons that kill people. Sometimes the parents don't even realize how bad. Especially when those children that have body, who are fat. Those ones that have body, they go down, all the fluid in their body will have gone. You have to look close. You have to have experience. Once the child is not responding to you, sharp, you have to hurry. Anyway, what I'm saying is it happens. What should he do? He should bind parents together. They should mourn together. They should pray together. No, this one went to two churches that scattered them. And the boy became bitter. I read his story online. I read it. When I finished reading it, well, God has given us some understanding. I just said, Kai, this boy is in trouble. I didn't talk about the parents. I said he's in trouble, that his life can never be balanced. Next thing I got, I just said that I was preaching like this. One of our brothers is a pastor. Some of us here will know him. He called me. He said, sir, that boy is my cousin. He said, you are right. He has not been able to graduate from university. I was just preaching. I said, oh, he can't be balanced. He's angry with God. He's angry with his parents. He's angry with everybody. I said, this such a life does not move forward. He said, sir, you are so correct. He has not been able to graduate. He's been stagnated. So I said so. Now, so, can you see what prophets did to him? Destroy the family. They're destroying his life. You can understand why I'm angry with them all the time. That is why I'm angry with them all the time. And I'm warning you, please. It's better. See, let me just say something to you clearly. Please, I beg you, if you're a Christian, a witch can't kill you. Can't do anything to you. They can't take your money. They can't cut your nails. You know, nails. They can't even cut it. I was sitting in Port Harcourt. I just made this statement like I did now. One woman says, at the end of the day, wanted to see me. He says, sir, you say a witch cannot create a Christian. I said, yes, I said so. I mean it. I'm still saying it. You want me to say it again? I'll say it. He said, no, that she doesn't agree. I said, why don't you agree? He said, a witch killed my husband. I said, the man was not born again. Don't you know that? He said, hey, okay, sure, maybe. I said, what are we talking about? Why are you now saying to him? I preached. You are actually coming to argue. I with me over that. Meanwhile, you know the guy was not born again. And he said, okay, who's the witch that killed him? He said, his mother. I said, ha. Nah, I know it's a lie. See all those things you watch in movies, most of them are lies. What will she gain? He said, nah, covenant, what she make? Leave that thing, nobody made any covenant. Women, I know women, they will break the covenant for their children's sake. They will. Even if they made the covenant, they go born again by force. They say, hey, it's time to sacrifice with you. They say, no, I no go agree. I go church. I heard that the God of the Christians, no, they collect that kind of sacrifice. They go church. The other witches will come. And they say, God of me. You see the woman in church all the time. It's to save witches' life. Is that not what most women do? Uche, you said be responsible. The reason why your mother will give you up is that you are very responsible. There are some boys there. Their mother will be the one to sacrifice them. Because every time she hears your name, she's going to police station to bail you out. The small jewelry she has somewhere, you don't collect, you don't sell. Oh, but even me, I will witchcraft your life, I will kill you for your mom, for your mother. What nonsense. If you're a responsible boy, you are doing your work as a pay salary, you cut small, you buy something for your mother. See, I'm telling you, even if she was a witch, when it's their turn to eat you, the woman will go to church. You know what she'll just do? You know you are her first son. She will give you to the Lord. She will lay you down on the altar. When the other witches come, she will say, you know, the Lord is very powerful. I wanted to bring him, but he has collected him. So if you want to eat him now, go and meet him. Go and meet the Lord. They say, how can you? Betrayal. He said, no, there's no betrayal. You want me to fight the God of the universe? I can't. So, okay, let's go. He said, okay, let's go and see the Lord and discuss this matter. Where will we see the Lord? Church. The people will not come. You just see your mother is suddenly so committed. She has removed her jewelry. She has worn turban. It's to save your life. I'm going to be telling you that. It's all nonsense. I don't believe in the word of all of those things. I don't say, Pastor Bank, you have not seen some. Okay, let me concede that you are in the realm of darkness. So you are seeing all kinds of rubbish there, right? I am in the realm of light. And I'm telling you what happens here. I'm saying he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm saying if that darkness place is confusing you so badly, why don't you come into light? That's what I'm saying. Come into light. I've known my wife now. We've married, started praying together for how long? This matter has never, you get my point? We have never even confessed in Jesus' name any wish. We have never mentioned that word. A lot of you have bad in-laws only because of bad doctrines. Please, I'm begging you, stop it. Your in-laws are not the problems you have. Most of the time, you are not a nice person. You can't expect a woman who has been in a man's life for 28 years before you fine girl came. You use your eyelashes to confuse the boy. He now went and met you and said, I do. And the woman would just leave you like that. How about yourself? Get sense now. Carry that eyelash girl where you might. Go regularly and go and be greeting the woman. That's what I'm saying. Let her know that, you know, he's a man. He has to move on, but he's still there for you. And you, my guy, yourself, get sense. Defend the woman anytime you get there. Are you getting my point? Don't let them ever have conflict. Don't let you. And God, please, you guys have to give me time. Now that we're solving extended family problems. Some ladies I've seen have very bad manners. I don't care how angry you are. You can't talk at your mother-in-law. You can't shout at her. Be silent. Let her finish doing all the talking. Then when your husband comes, or you go behind your husband and lay all your complaints, and you, my guy, go there and be a man. If your mother did wrong towards your wife, be nice in talking, but be firm. Mommy, no, now that's not good now. What do you expect to react? You know, she's a stranger in this place. She will not feel comfortable. Please, if there's anything next time, talk to me. Don't attack her like that. It's not good. Please, talk to me. Some girls will just tell the woman, see? Mama, you are married. Me too, I'm married. God will punish you. You are an idiot. do it. You know, don't you have manners? Don't they train people where you come from? That's your husband's mother you're talking to like that? The Bible says it would not be well with you. No, I'm not the one saying it. It's called dishonor. Shut your mouth for goodness sake. Have some good manners. It's okay. Mommy, it's okay now. No problem, mommy. Just be quiet. Then when you close the door, you tell your husband, I'm not coming here again. See, many of the problems we have in life, they are unnecessary. They are unnecessary. I'll go back there again. This Christmas passed because we are angry. Nothing went. You get what I'm saying? Christmas. You allowed it to go on record. Say, because you are broke. You didn't eat in December. Take your food money and explain that you are broke. So all you could buy is just these nice rolls of print material. They don't know you are starving to get it. Do you get my point? I'm saying many of our in-law troubles will disappear with good manners and generosity. And of course, throw away false doctrines. Those false doctrines, they cause too many problems. And whoever listens to me, one of the things I'm asking you to do is throw them away. See, I'm not asking you to come to my church in quote. I have churches I recommend that you go. If you're in Enugu, I can recommend church for you. You can go to TCC, you can go to TTA, you can go to Uplifting City Church. Yes, I have churches I can recommend. This is our winner's pastor. I don't know the address of his church. I can recommend. There are churches I will recommend, okay? But I'm not saying this because I'm trying to attract you onto myself. I want you to be delivered. If you go to a church where they're doing witch every Sunday, you should stop. I'm telling you, stop going there. And tell the pastor why. Say why? He said, Pastor Banky said, mention my name. I'm not afraid of everybody. People have insulted. See, I have stabilized in Enugu. There was a time where I was known in pastoral witchcraft circles. No, pastoral witchcraft circles. I'm a topic of discussion. One man even called me what they say, Pastor Banky. He said, my friend came and said, we should come and see you so you can stop doing what you are doing now. Yeah. That what I'm doing is not good. What I'm doing? This teaching I'm teaching. So, see, people, they are used to me now. And now I'm not older than a lot of people. You know, those days I was even younger than them. Now, once you see my beard, I look like an Islamic cleric. So you cannot even, you won't even dare me. What am I telling you? Tell the pastor, but Pastor Banky said that I cannot be coming to a church where our life revolves around the fear of witches. That the primary job our God does is to be stopping the attack of witches. No, that I have another destiny to face. The destiny that God created me to face. I need to go and face it, not being distracted all the time by these witchcraft things. I hope I've helped somebody there. Yes. Let's get into our message. So, we began this year looking at the life of Nathanael and saying that our faith as Christians must reflect outwardly. It must show. I said something the other time. In your office, please, what makes you a Christian is not that you carry Bible. They know you that you always carry a Bible. That's a show. If you were here during our business by the Spirit, Pastor Annie said that in their church in Aba, House on the Rock Aba, when they were building, people were coming to supply them stuff. There was one woman that was supposed to supply this sand. As he drove there towards the church, he saw the woman sitting down outside reading the Bible. So he told himself, that woman is fake. Yeah. She has the Bible in her hand, and he's a pastor. And he told himself, that woman is fake. How did he know? He said, this is under the sun. Who reads the Bible standing under the sun? Outside. There are shaded areas where I won't see you when I'm approaching. Says she's trying to show me that she's a Christian. That single act of carrying a Bible in the afternoon was why he distrusted her
And guess what? It was proven to be right. She was a fraud. A man, those days before the days of easy transfers and all of that, he came all the way to Enugu. To one of the, I think one of these materials, building materials market, came to buy stuff. One way or the other, he didn't come with his money. You know, those people going to do a lot of cash and all of that. They had finished loading the vehicle. Time to pay. Started fidgeting. So the owner of the shop, that where he bought the stuff from, so he now took the money. He said he doesn't know how to explain what happened. His money is not here. So they had a choice. Offload the truck. All right? And the guy will back come another time. So the man said, well, he doesn't know what to say, but whether the man could just trust him, that will be back maybe in a few days to pay. So the owner of the shop just said, no problem. That he said he could go. So I allowed the truck to drive off. The man didn't pay. A few days later, the man came back with the money. Gave the man his money. They counted it. And he said he's curious. He just didn't understand that. Why did you just, he didn't expect it. Why did you agree? He said, because he did not use the name God. He said, I was waiting for you to say God. I would have uploaded that vehicle. Yeah. The man said that I was just waiting for you to call the name of God. That if you did, I would have uploaded that vehicle. He said, but you just promised that, okay, let me just promise you, in the next few days I'll be back. I'll have your money complete. He said, when you said that, I said to let you go. He said, experience that those who call God, they are generally godless. A man stood in my wife's office that day. The way he spoke, I was carried away. He kept on putting his hand up. All we do is because of him. He spoke, I was carried away. I walked to my wife's office. So he gave her a bill. I looked at it. So I told my wife, no, I think it's okay. Pay him. Me, because of him. Because of him. My wife now did something which I didn't even expect. She just put a call through to our brother Uche. And sent. So Uche said, okay, send it to me by WhatsApp. So she scanned the stuff and sent and gave to his guys in the market. And this guy just said, lie, lie, lie. Nobody changes this. No, this is never. This thing does not spoil. And if it spoils, it's not 7,000, it's 1,000 naira. They just went through it. And said they don't know what he's talking about. So my wife came and told me, see, look at what Uche said. This man of God can't be lying now. Because of him. So I said, okay, man of God, see, let's do something. My guys in the market said, they have, that it's not like, that there's no problem. Like, let them send to us, then you can start your work. He got angry. If he asked for money for something, I don't see no problem. In fact, I had sent one of my children to go and get my bag. I have money in the bag. Go and get it for me. I'll give him the money. Then when he comes back tomorrow. So in the process, and I asked him, I can't give you details because it takes time. And I said, please, can you just loosen that thing from the device for me so that I'll just make sure they match it with the one they want to send from the market. He got angry. What kind of time wasting is that? You know, he packed his bag. He just took his bag and walked out. So before my son could come back with my bag, he had gotten angry and left. So I called my other guy who does the same business. That guy said, I shouldn't mind him. So they lie. Now, even he was not telling the whole truth, but at least his own lie was less. And he did not say it was because of him. I called the guy. He came, fixed the whole thing in a short while. So, you know, they discussed the price. They paid him. But at least he did not say because of him. This guy called the name of God. And I wondered that. So do you know this God answers? Do you know this God answers? So that man that day, he said he agreed for that man to take the goods without paying. Simply because he did not call the name of God. Because he was tired of people who call the name of God, what they do. Even as young students, when I was in university, after a while we learned something. Once we enter a business and they plaster God's name everywhere, we walk out. Yeah, as young students,
in the university. We learned it. Because we found that those who wouldn't listen to you, do your, like now, we'll go to where I'm so close. We'll see a tailor's shop. Oh, nice. You walk in, they are singing, there are hymns going on. Oh, cinnamon, when are you going to repent? You know, those kind of things. You go to, you see our man now. You see Jesus on the cross, Jesus coming from the grave, Jesus in all kinds of postures. Jesus multiplying bread, you know, Jesus healing the blind. You see the posters everywhere. But let them sew your cloth correctly. That's why Jesus does not show up. Jesus will not come to that one. No. Jesus is so busy on the walls, he doesn't come to the walk. Because of him. Honest, I'm talking as a student too. After a short while, we learned it. That once you enter a shop, you see that they are Christian, just walk out. They won't do your work properly. We're just so used to it. But if you go there and the guy has Rasta hair, you understand? And they say, oh my God, what did it happen? Give that one your work. Give that one your work. Give that one your work. You stand a better chance of him doing it well. And if he doesn't do it well, you can quarrel and you won't have to be afraid because of him. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It should not be. It should be that once you know, once they know you are a Christian, they relax. They know whatever you say must be true. And that's what we are preaching. Brethren, that is our aim. Once people know that we are true believers in Christ, they should be relaxed. They should know the quality of our work is good. They should know anything we say about money is true. They should be able to rely on every word that we speak. That was the kind of person Nathanael was. And when the Lord saw it, yeah, he was happy to meet him. He said, an Israelite indeed. A man in whom there is no guile, no deceit. I'm just reminding us that that is what we are dealing with. And what I want to talk about today, well, I thought about it. I don't know. Let's see how the Holy Spirit will help me. Because we ended last time explaining something from the book of Philippians chapter 4. And I took time out, read the whole of the book of Philippians, and I noticed something that Paul was emphasizing. And let me see whether it will come into today. If it doesn't, we'll take it next time. But let's read first of all from the book of John chapter 3. Jesus said, we are in the world. But now laid one particular emphasis, which is what? We are not off the world. We can be on this earth. We can work in a government office. We may do business in the markets, but we are not of the spirit of that market. We don't have the spirit of the average person doing business. We may have an establishment. What is motivating us is not what is motivating the other persons. I say it again. Why do Christians do business? One word they use in secular world is to maximize profit. Or some say, no, you don't maximize it, you optimize it. But it's about profit, first of all. But for us, profit is not number one. Profit is important, but it's like number four, number five, or number six. The first thing for us is about the will of God. It's about the assignment of God. It's about God's calling. So there are things that make money, they make profit. I just say, no, it's not my thing. We were discussing yesterday online. Please try and join us on Fridays on a Kingdom World Radio. It's exclusively on radio. A few of us come together to teach, but please join us on radio. We encourage that. Wherever you are, join. It's 5 to 7. It's 5 o'clock. We kick off 7 o'clock. So it's 5 to 7. Please join Kingdom World Radio. You can contribute. We like people to contribute. You send your contributions. We'll give you a WhatsApp line. You can just by a text message. You can ask questions. We'll answer them. So yesterday we were discussing it again, talking about gifts, callings, and ministries. Grace, gifts, calling, ministry. We described all of those things. But in summary, what they mean is this. God has an assignment or a job for each person, and he has empowered the person as such, to be able to do that. Okay? And many things people try to do in this life, it didn't send them in that direction. And I'm going to talk about this somewhere along the line. I don't know whether it's today. Very, very critical. Many people are not even rightfully geographically located. And Rick Joyner said, I was listening to him yesterday, and he said that, I've said it before, but I didn't know his proportion. He said it in a manner that I've never heard it, I've never said it. He said, most Christians today are wrongly located geographically. It's an American preacher, Rick Joyner, the one that wrote Final Quest and The Call and The Harvest. He said one major problem with God's revival on the earth is that most workers are not in the right place geographically. And he says something which you will bear witness, I've said many times, and that the major reason why they are in the wrong place is a primary consideration for their location. Did you hear that? That what they consider first of all, when they want to locate themselves somewhere, is never the kingdom or the call of God or the assignment of God. It's always where it's about money and comfort. So kingdom comes next. So that's why I said most of them are wrongly located geographically. It's not about whether you heard voices or you did not. It's what you were thinking. You go here, there's more money there. You will miss the will of God. It's not about how to hear God. No, Christians teach how to hear God. There's no how to hearing God. Some say pray. We talk as if God is hard to persuade to talk. God says, wait, let me tell you something. I have already spoken. It's whether you are getting it that's the issue. There's no how. You pray for 5 hours, then God will speak. There's nothing like that in the scriptures. You face this particular direction that God will speak. There's nothing like that in the scriptures. You wake up at this particular time and pray, and God will speak. There is nothing like that in the scriptures. You will notice from the scriptures, in fact, when studying in my house, 1 Samuel, when God led Saul to where he wanted him to be, he said to Samuel, I will send a man to you tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, the man will come. But he never said anything to Saul. You know what happened? An angel just stole some donkeys. Yeah, an angel went and collected some of the donkeys that belonged to Saul's father. And then the father said, go and look for my donkeys. So Saul went looking for the donkeys. And that way, he got to the house of Samuel. At the very time that God ordained. God leads different ways. That's the point I'm making. What matters is not your technique for hearing. It's where your heart is situated. If you pray all the time and say, God, what is most important to me is that you have a walk on the earth. I fit somewhere and I must be somewhere. Dear Lord, if you now pray, say, Lord, let me be in that place. That prayer sincerely said, we close a company. I open another one. That prayer will have your boss transfer you. Yes. It will have your boss transfer you. That prayer sincerely said, if necessary, it will come to you in a vision. Macedonia. Like Paul had something pushing him to preach the gospel amongst the Gentiles, especially where he had never been preached. That did not require the Holy Spirit to tell him anything further. It just required God to do what? Open doors for him. And then one day, a door opened and he wanted to enter. Holy Spirit said, no, don't enter this one. That's the only time Holy Spirit needed to speak. He saw another door. Holy Spirit said, no, you can't enter that one. I said, what's going on here? Why am I finding it hard to enter? So he slept and he had a dream, a vision of the night. And a man who could identify was a Macedonian. The man was like, come over to Macedonia and help us. So God spoke that day in the dream, in the vision of the night. I hope you're getting my point. God leads there for different ways. As long as you keep praying. We got married, my wife and I, when she was doing her national service. So one day she called me. I was in Lagos. She was in Benin. Called me in the morning. that had gone to check my posting. Guess where I was posted? That morning, I thought about her. And I said she would be posted to Ondo State. There were 36 states in Nigeria. She said, how do you know? I said, answer me now. Where were you posted? She said, Ondo State. I said, she was shocked. You know, there's a way God will bring respect on you. You know, like, your wife will respect your spirituality. She knew she was marrying a spiritual man, man. Forget what I look like physically. She just called, said, well, I just threw her flat. I said, how did you know? I said, I thought about you this morning. And it came to my mind. Now, it's what she said, that I don't know whether that's before then or then. And I said, well, so what do you think? She said, I just want to be where God wants me to be. I never forgot that line. So you know what God did? God posted her to my hometown, at least, well, where I grew up, where my parents were living. Yeah, so let's say my hometown. That's where the camp was. And the camp commandant was staying in my father's house. Because my dad had a tenant whose first son was a military officer. And the camp commandant was posted. So he told him, he said, you are going to my hometown now. So he gave him a message. Okay, you stay with my dad. So the military man was still in our house. So for my wife to leave camp and go and see her potential parents-in-law was just breeze. So God posted her there to go and meet my parents. After that, it's a long story. He redeployed her to Lagos because there were some issues. She had an uncle who was a general in Nigerian Army. So that one came one day. Said, how's the former? Just talk. He said, no. They should post her to his place. So went to NYC office in Abuja. Redeployed this girl for me. You know the way it is in Nigeria. It was end of military rule that time. It was Absalami's period. Absalami was still in power. You know they would do that. So just send her a redeployment letter. Bam. It was from his house that she moved to. Don't call it my house. My cubicle. Where we're staying in Lou that time. I'm just an illustration that there was no hearing God, no hearing God. It was just, this is what I want the Lord to do. And the Lord said, okay, watch me do it. And he just moved these chess pieces around and arranged things by himself. So Regina said, most Christians today are wrongly situated. And not because they don't know how to hear God, I'm explaining. It's because what is priority in them, he said that also, that what is priority in them is what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and with what we shall clothe ourselves. That is when you say somebody is of the world. That's when we say we are of the world. When we are doing things as believers, what makes us Christians? We are in the world. We are not of the world. We use a different operating system. And we're talking about that. We have a different value system. Our values are different. That's why our decisions will not always be rational. Are you getting my point? They will not always be rational. You will make a decision concerning marriage. Your cousins will think something is, whether you are crazy. You will make a decision, in fact, let me not even start on marriage matter again. We've done that a bit today. You make a decision on where you will be geographically located. And people will say you are crazy. One brother relocated from the UK to Nigeria. And everybody agreed that he had gone mad. Only one person didn't think so. The wife he married. He came to our alumni fellowship to come and see me. Just to tell me the reason that he listened to our messages was what gave him the impetus. And his wife agreed with me. They just packed one day and said, okay, let's go back to Nigeria. I think that's where we're supposed to be. People said all kinds of, they couldn't believe it. This is some years ago now. Not seen the guy in a while. He just packed. The testimony now gave me, he says, sir, everything you've said, he says, it come to pass in my life. He said, you say you will live in, quoting scriptures, of course, you will live in houses you did not build. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm living in a house that I did not build. Because when he relocated back, you know, there's something about if you live abroad, if you're abroad, listen to this, you know it happens. One of the major problems you have is who is trustworthy back home that can handle money for you, handle property. It's a real problem. And some of you are doing property business. Get that reputation for yourself, for trustworthiness. Business is full ground. And what you are marketing is integrity. They know if they give you ₦1 million, it will do ₦1 million work. Charge them what you want to charge, but let them know this is my charge. And then whatever they give you, let them have confidence. If you are doing work for them, let them know I don't have to be there to get the quality. You will have some difficult clients. I'm not saying you won't have, but generally, let on your own side things be pam pam 100% prim and proper. So that was the problem people had. So when they found out that, well, he was stubbornly relocating home, that was when people now say, hey, see that my property. They now started handing him property to manage. So that one of them came with a very nice duplex. Just live there. You don't have to pay any rent as long as you take care of every other thing. Ah, taking care of things is my business. The spirit of care is inside me. I have the grace to care. So he said, look, I'm living in a house I did not build. And I'm not paying rent. He was not started his own business, and God was helping him, building up gradually. It was a thought most people felt nobody should have. One of our brothers went to abroad to do some things. When he was done, his friends and colleagues there, they all sat in there one after the other, explaining to him why he didn't need to go back home. This was in the U.S. Explaining the advantages. When they finished, I'm going back home. They did not switch the gear. Let me tell you about satanic temptation. He's always negotiating. Okay, you can go, leave the little ones behind. No stuff like that. Nothing. Okay, he should go now, but at least leave his wife and his children. Now, let me just advise you, okay? Now, you can stay wherever you want to stay, amen? I mean, it's your life. I mean, is it my life? I mean, are you the one living for other people? No, good. But I can give you as a teacher of the word, a servant of God, I will tell you this. When people tell you like that, carry your wife and children, leave them, then come back here. That's satanic counsel. Now, you can get angry. Getting angry, it doesn't concern me. Because I won't answer to you, I'll answer to God. Some of you women, they will soon collect your husband. You can be angry. I thought you're supposed to be a Christian. He's not a very good one, and you know. And you're taking unnecessary chances with your life. He said, give my children. Stop. Somebody else will train those kids for you. One guy in the UK was talking about it. You know who will train them for you? The society. That's what he said. He said, they will train them, they will snatch them. I know the person talking, you know where he was? Shooting from UK. He said, leave that thing. He said, this society will train your children for you. Now, you are not even good there. Oh, but what is wrong with you? You are not even there. You are not there. Let me tell you something about fathers. Thank God for them. No, their eye has a different quality. If a child is misbehaving, most mothers, though, I know some mothers are made of iron rod. Are you getting my point? But most mothers, when they look at, what are you doing there? Well, Lord, Father, they will just look. Once they look, I don't know how it used to happen. Everybody gets the idea. Now look, but what y'all look? Y'all look like this. You just look. Just look. That look, you can't buy it. God, you see, one thing I've noticed about this life, the value of some things cannot be quantified. So we have things that have values that cannot be quantified. Be very careful before you exchange them for things that have quantifiable value. Do you get my point? Your family's presence in your life, the value cannot be quantified. So be very careful before you scatter it for money, for comfort. Jonathan's election that he lost to Buhari, which year was that? Do you remember? 2015, yeah. It's one of the most
What's the superlative for tense? Is it tensest or most tense? You get my point? One of those most tense periods Nigeria has had in recent years. You know that, if you remember. I was with Pastor Courage in Akure. One of our brothers died, a minister of the gospel. So we went there for burial. We had to do the burial on Wednesday because presidential election was on Saturday. So we wanted to get it over with. So we had to do everything before that weekend. And Pastor Corey was in Akure with me on Wednesday. Thursday, we finished everything we were doing. We started traveling. I went back home. My mom is in Ondo State there. So I just drove to see her. Then on Friday, started driving back to Enugu. He had to get down to Sokoto. Now he flew to Abuja. It's election on Saturday. So to get a flight from Abuja to anywhere, it was impossible. So from the airport, he took a taxi. Those days before all the roadblocks and all of that, a taxi driving nonstop takes 8 hours. From the airport, just took the off to Sokoto. When he couldn't get a flight, just came out, took a taxi. Take me to Sokoto. He got to Sokoto late at night. I don't know how late, but it was dark when he got there. You know his reason? Now, before I tell you his reason, before then, people had begged him. Things are very tense. Please, you and your family, why don't you relocate? People begging him offered flight tickets. They're not just talking. He refused. So, oh, say, all right, no problem. You can stay there. Say, you know, they hear, well, your name is Courage. And people that who their name is Courage used to do courageous things. But your wife's name is not Courage. Your children's name is not Courage. So, do you mind sending them down? He now told them, say, you forget that I'm the pastor of a church. What am I saying to my church members? See, following the Lord there, they get risk. So they say, just your wife and children, they say, send tickets for all wives and all children in the church. They will come. If you can't do that, then forget the idea. It's a statement he made to me. That's why I'm telling this whole story. He said, they forget one thing. My family is safest where I am. That's this whole story to make that statement to you. He said, my family, they are safest wherever I am. So things are tense. He said, I have to get back. Let's use what the word we use, most of us Pentecostals. I am the covering God has given them. So late night on Thursday, he had to get back into town. He said, the tensest period, you know, the most tense issue is coming up on Saturday. I have to be physically there. Brethren, it was tense for all of us. It was not just tense for him. I know what I went through here. Hey. It wasn't easy. He said, my family, they are safest where I am. Some of us are very funny. They say, this country is not good. Then you carry them. I'm telling you the truth. Because, you know, where's Okemute? Okemute says that they spoil people. So I've been using Okemute now as an excuse to say anything. At least you will not say you didn't hear from my mouth. So let me say it in black and white. Christian men, stop relocating your family far away from where you are because you want them to be safe. After all of this, God gave you money. His money is sending you on errand. It's not God. You know, if you can't raise 10 million naira, who are you sending away? You know now. If you couldn't raise that money, people do all kinds of excuses. And I say, hey, my wife wants to go and do a master's degree that they don't do in Osaka, that they don't do in Covenant University. Your wife only had an idea to read book after, after all these years. Meanwhile, the guy no book before. My friend, stop lying to me. You are using admission to collect visa. You are telling me nonsense talk. It's what they call shaking your responsibilities. Suddenly she has to be the one to raise boys. And you are alive. If you were not there now, we'll understand. What is wrong with you? I will tell it. See, good enough. You can't do me anything. If you are not even sending me offering before, so it's not as if I won't send you money again. Eh? I will tell it the way it is. So that tomorrow, because God told the prophet, he said, if I tell you, tell your man the way he's going. Wahala go deo. If you don't tell him, I would have to ask you. So let me say it and free myself. You have a duty. Those boys, of course, not only boys, the girl, you have to raise her for goodness sake. So create, you know, sometimes it pains me when people create problems that did not exist. Do you get my point? You are happy. There's nothing wrong. I mean, your kids are going to, I mean, they're doing secondary school. God gave you money. Some of us, God gave us money. You get my point? We can't do anything. As they're going to school, you buy them tab, buy them laptop, buy them everything, go to a very good school, tush. Human beings are unsatiable. You can't satisfy them. Something that's not good enough. Because in your friend's son's school, somewhere in Europe, or somewhere in South Africa, or somewhere in Iran, I don't know. you see, the screen, once the teacher does like this, the screen will just move. Does it move into his head? Let me tell you, whether you like it or not, God helped me. I was a very good student when I was in secondary school. Now chalk, they take right for board. There was no tab. I had to read Abbott. How many people read that? Do you have Abbott readers in the house? God bless you. Thank you. I read Lambert. Nelcon. There was the name of that mathematics book, General Mathematics. No, not General Mathematics. This was for those who were born in the Gen G. I'm talking about, I did YAC in 1984. So, yeah, to. Pressure. What did you think? '84. I entered university in '85. So come on, what do you think? I need to remind people of this once in a while so that they know that this baby is appropriate. It's not. Somebody said, did you bleach that? And I said, what is wrong with you? How can I bleach my baby? God gave it to me like this. We sat down, we read the book, it entered head. So I'll tell him that when they do like the screen will move. Those moving screens are in itself, they are a distraction. Do you know, with all the aid we have now, children learn less.
Yes.
Because the phone is a distraction. My daughter told me that, if I say I do it all the time. He said when she was in Sinosuka. When she wants to read, she'll go and meet Uncle Ben's wife and give her her phone so she can read. Very sensible girl. God bless her for it. She has to go and give her phone to her. To adults where I be like this. When I won't work, I quench them. I put it off. So please, don't use this when you go there. The children don't know more than Nigerian children. Fact. Because we've seen it now. When you not carry one, when you've studied where EEDC has collapsed, you understand my point? Where there's no, your school doesn't have power. They're not carrying where they are blowing breeze ahead. Do you know what happens? Those guys suddenly, that you say. Where I'm going is that with all the difficulty, do you know, people are hypercharged and they're absorbing things. They've never stepped down. They're at a disadvantage. Never. So stop lying to me that you are doing anybody a big favor. The most important thing this child needs, the discipline you instill, you are denying him of it. That's the point I'm making. I will say, please, stop splitting your families needlessly. Before you do, make sure that you are seen. You get my point? Like, not for silly things like, opportunity. Which opportunity? I hope you know. Dangote is employing people in these refineries. People are coming from all over the world to apply. All over the world. And most people is that are getting the job. In fact, one of our brothers, he works in Nigeria LNG. He said one day, he said he was talking to the head of HR or one of the managers in HR that I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. He said that he argued with the man. The man said most of their intakes came from abroad. He told the man it's not true. They pulled files. The man's mouth opened. Unilag, UNN. The man found that most, they interviewed them, people came from abroad, everybody, they interviewed them fair and square. And most people they employed were picked from local universities. The head of HR was shocked to know that the people he employed was one of his staff and he said, "Oga, let's look at it." They brought the files and checked it. This was just a few years ago. So relax. That's the point I'm making. Don't just wake up in the morning and start having problems that you didn't have yesterday. That's one thing me, I love. I don't know about you. I love peace of mind though. I love peace of mind. I said one day my sister called me, said, Mimiko, you don't say governor, say he's selling houses. He built these houses for people to empower people. He said I should come and buy. And it was very affordable, but at least by my standard. And all he needed to do was downpay 10% or once. I could even downpay 20% if they wanted. A small bungalow is yours. So now I get called. Oh yeah. I said, where the house is there? Is there a Korean? Oh, it's not in Enugu. No, I said, I'm not interested. I asked my sister a simple question. I said, when I would have bought the house, what would I do with it? That was the question I asked. He said, hey, you put tenant there. Tenant. I said, no. Do I look like Jonathan Odu, an associate? I said, no. I'm a preacher. I'm not a landlord, if you don't get my point. I'm not an instant agent. I'm not. I said, no. He said, it's property now. It's on the earth. It's not in heaven. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The way I reason, I said, it's on the earth. It's not in heaven. And it's good to acquire property. I said, well, I don't think so. I personally don't believe. No, please, I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't think so. I said, it's too far away from where I live. Then a few weeks down the line, there was now this major storm that was removing roofs everywhere. I said, see what I'm saying now. Right now, I don't really care about roofs being removed in Akure. I said, do you know if that house was mine, I'll be making phone call. Is the roof intact? He said, no, it's not intact. How bad is it? Okay, which carpenter can we get? I said, see, these are things that I don't need. How much will you be paying as rent? I just said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Some people say, hey, I know some of you are doing calculation of how you can appreciate. See, if I need money that time, I will pray. I will. It will come. Because you see, the peace of mind you will have lost over 10 years is not worth the appreciation in that earthly property. So I keep away. Honestly, it was so affordable, I refused. Sometimes people, when they don't know what I'm dealing with. You are looking at property. I'm looking for at peace of mind. I said it is too far away. I hope you guys are getting me right. I'm not saying it's wrong, though. If it was Oka here, I probably, if I was on Anambra and Charles Ududo say, okay, guys, come. Maybe, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but, do you know what they call Akure? Some of you don't know. It's in Nigeria, but it's far from here. I said, it was not necessary. And I just reasoned that it was not worth the headache. It's not a bad thing. I checked the peace of mind index. By the time I checked everything, it wasn't given to me, it was taken from me. There are things I will give to you. Like if you dashed me in the house, I didn't have to do anything. You know, I will collect now. But this one now, I will first owe money that I will be paying, hoping the tenant. I said, no, this calculation is not necessary. It's not. It's not. It's kind of not necessary. It's too expensive.
A lot of us will just get up in the morning, go and look for trouble. Yeah. As I did right now, if somebody say, Pastor Banky, you've been such a blessing, I want to dash a Rolls Royce. I will ask you, must I own it? Because I don't want you to feel bad. When you hear say, I don't hail them the next day, you know, to hail something. It's one of the slangs we used to use over the University of Benin those days. As you drop them like this, I say, where you park them? You tell me where it is. Just leave it there, leave it there. Leave the key inside. Now, buyers will go and be looking at it there. I won't even bring it to my house. Because, see this CVMS, Udejuku, it doesn't know how to service Bentley. I found out. Not because it's bad, because it's technically too difficult. I will not give him, tell him Rolls Royce could be, you know, say, you know, I like one thing about him. He will do all the research necessary. And I say, the oil, we need to import it from, from Iran. And I say, with the Iran, do you know they are bombing in that place? So that's the best oil I could find for it. I say, okay. If we change this thing to a Toyota, will you be able to buy it from Total Energy? You say yes. So carry the motor. Go and dash it to whoever wants it. Tell the person to give you a Toyota in exchange. And I wonder, what is it doing for me? That this, I don't know whether you guys are getting where I'm going. So I'm just want, so if anybody say, I'm not going to take, I'll just say, so, and if you say no, okay, you must drive it. I'm being honest with you, I will not collect it from you. Is the car a bad car? No. You get my point. Is it a bad vehicle? Why don't I want it? The headache that is going to add to my life. No. Many of you don't know how big those things are. Because they look like they are massive. Don't just wake up in the morning. That's the point I'm making. Just invent trouble for yourself. It's not everything that looks like a blessing that's actually a blessing. It's not. It's not everything. Like I tell young people, don't even... There are some phones. You're a campus student and you want a fold. I don't care how rich your father is. Don't want a fold. You know what they call a fold?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, it's not as if it's a bad thing. I hope you're getting my point. You just look at your life and say, wait, this, what am I going to do with this? It's not everything that looks good that is an advantage to you. Value your peace of mind more than other things. That's what I'm saying. I like the fact that I can easily reach my children in the morning. They are going to university. I've never had to pray about dollar to pay their school fees. Never. Or their daily, monthly allowances. Never had to think about it. So I will not decide to start thinking about it if I have the option. That's what I'm telling people. Value your peace of mind. And if you're a single boy, any girl, that will remove your peace of mind is not the will of God. Are they hearing me? No?
Amen.
Help the young man. Most of you are married. Help the young people now. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You have been going to church, no wahala. You have been praying, no trouble. Then now you want to now, you know, you are now thinking of settling that, like we say. Then suddenly this girl is now, you want to go to church. Before you enter keke, you didn't have a problem. You call Uber now to pick her up as you are going. It's not even air conditioned. Please sit inside that car. Keep going. Tell you that I will send one that has air conditioner later. Finish the service. All right? Go back home. They say, you didn't send it. It's still coming. Maybe you will get one before next week's service. And next service, this time around, I'm going with Keke. I'm not even picking you. If you want to come to church, find your way. You don't love me. I don't. I love peace of mind. I love peace of mind. I love peace of mind. Please, I know what I'm telling you people. I don't like... See, somebody drop your soul for nothing and you are accepting. You won't make progress in life like that. Like one movie my wife and I were watching, one of these short videos, the Christian videos. That one said, no, you know, I'm going for my class. The husband they talked to, the guy said, God, what did he say again? He said, God said, okay,
If I say good, he said, me, I found the troubler of my soul. Okay, no. He said, I found a weapon fashioned against me. No, young people, I'm serious. If any young lady, one sister in church, when you start this engagement thing, that's when your peace of mind disappears. That's a sign from God. She's not sent. That is a clear sign. It will not improve after you've married, though. The Lord is good. See, like I told you, you will let me preach what I want to preach today. This diversion we are taking, is not too plenty? Huh. Okay, that's today's message. So maybe that one is not today's message. The Lord is good. No, seriously. I don't have time to go into that now. We'll get back to it, all right? Do you know, just to summarize it, do you know I found out, Reverend, that most of the book of Philippians, well, the Holy Spirit just helped me see one early morning. I actually took time out to compile it. Two things, well, it's actually one thing in two forms. What Paul emphasized in the book of Philippians was peace of mind. No, I'm being honest with you. If you go through it, what he emphasized, you see, it's always, I thank God, I rejoice. In this, I rejoice. The joy of your faith. I've quoted three verses now. I'm still in chapter one. You see, talk about the joy of your faith. He said, don't be alarmed by your opponents. Let your mind be calm. He said, for you, it's a sign of salvation. I'm in chapter two now. In chapter two, he says, make my joy complete. Paul's talking about it. I will come back to it later. He said, in this, I rejoice. He said, do everything without complaining. He said, you should rejoice, and I want to share your joy. I'm still in chapter 2. You get to chapter 3. He's talking, he said, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. He said, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 3. You go to chapter 4. He talked about to the brethren. He said, you are my joy. And the crown I receive from my works. Paul kept on talking. He get that verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say what? Rejoice. You continue. He said, don't worry about anything. You continue. He said, then you will experience God's peace of mind. He finished it. He said, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. I read it. I said, it looks like more than any other thing. What Paul was encouraging the church to have was peace of mind, joy, thanksgiving. Then I realized that it's one of the major... then I realized, it just clicked. He said, the kingdom of God is not in food and drinking. What is it? Righteousness. What? Peace. And what? Joy. I said, no wonder God has been helping with peace of mind for a long time. That if God wants to bless you, he gives you what? Peace and joy. I will not mortgage it for anything. Anything that's taking away my joy is going out of my life. You're taking away my joy. I don't care how good you think you are. You are living my life. You know, you don't have this. I will not want it. I will tell myself, I don't want. I hope you're getting my point. Some people have been saving money. I've told you before. Stop all this harassing yourself and saving money hard because you want to buy a moto. Don't buy. It's good to own your own house, amen? Yeah. It's good to own your own house, right? Yes. No, answer me, is it good or bad?
Good.
But even in trying to do it, you can't sleep again. It's bad. Pray to God to give you a good landlord and pay your rent with joy. The day God wants to give you a house, you will look back and say, ah, God, when did this happen? It's good to have the car, but for goodness sake, between now and when the car will come easily, have some good keke men's number and install Uber and Lyft. What are the name of the apps? Bolt and Uber. Put them on your phone. See, if you go and check it well, those things are cheaper than owning your own vehicle. No, they are. I'm telling you, they are. They are not as
nice looking. They probably are not as comfortable generally. But if you're talking about cost, if your car breaks down the road, do you know you can't leave that place? See, God will bless this man. Because ever since I knew him, anywhere my car breaks down, I lock the car, go away. I put the key under the tire. I call him. I just call him. Before, I can't go anywhere. Where I'm going is that, do you know if it was a hired vehicle, I will hire another one and tell the driver, the Lord be with you and also with you, and I will go. Those is when we're in Lagos. You are inside bus like this. The bus breaks down. Before, you never even pay the conductor. And even if you are paid, you know negotiations. They collect their money back. And conductors know, man, every man eye they read. So you just drop that money, enter the next bus, and go. What I'm saying is that not everything is always an advantage. That's the point I'm making. So enjoy your peace of mind. If the peace of mind God has given you that you can't acquire the 10 million naira necessary to, what are you saying? The 5,000, 2,000, 1,500, 3,000 that is required to keep mobile on a daily basis, you have it. Don't complain. Just be thanking God every day. Father, I want to thank you. I'm never stranded. Lord, I want to thank you. I am never stranded. Any day you don't go out, you don't spend money. CVMS will not send you a message that your car is due for servicing. Some of us that drive cars that have nice engine, if you know the cost of those engines, then, oh boy. One day, would they send me a bill? I was like, what? What are you up to? He said, it cannot be me now. Is the engine? I know. Yeah, it's engine oil. Those who are making engine oil, do they plan to go to heaven? My wife's car is a very funny one. So one day I was trying to manage money. So I told him that, no, would they just use a very good quality high grade oil? Now he snapped something inside the engine. Now he sent to me, say, Oga, leave that thing. Like, open the bonnet. The root is in red. They knew that people like me will buy their car one day. Who think we have more sense than the Japanese engineer? They said no matter the climate. Because we reason that those very thin oil is because of their cold climate. They say no matter the climate, under no circumstance, you use any other oil apart from this. The most expensive in the market. I had to confess, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Where I'm going with this whole talk, brethren, don't get into some headaches until the time is right. I'm joking about this. I've never had any problem paying for all of those things. I don't. I don't have any problem paying for it. If they comes and say, no, this oil is not the good one, now this is the one you should be buying. Normally, he buys, he just sends me how much money he spent. I refund him his money. If engine oil will be a prayer point for you, sell that car. Did you get what I said?
Yes, sir.
If, you know, there are some things that are not, I've told some of you young people, before you get a phone, check the price of the replacement screen. If it's higher than your monthly salary, drop it. No, you see, do you get my point? Look, I've never broken a screen. It's my wife that used to break screens. She told me, hey, my screen has stopped working. I just walked over to find brother, gave it to them. I sent her phone back. Yeah, my husband, you have fixed it. I fixed it. That's why I'm called husband. Don't worry, I have fixed it. It was expensive, but it wasn't an issue. Cost. It didn't do me anything. One day I had one very high-end phone like this. The screen stopped working. I walked over to them. Oh, they said it's still under warranty. They changed it for me. If it was not under warranty, I'll give them their money and I won't pray about it. What if you are doing, Father God, this screen, I command it shall not break. I shall not break. Father, in the name, I invoke the power on screen. What will you use to heal the sick? I don't know whether you're getting my point. What will you use now when it's time to heal the sick? We're not raising the dead yet, though. Just to heal the sick. You pray this amount of prayer on screen. Brethren, don't use that kind of phone. You are wasting spiritual energy.
Please, I hope you're getting my point. Value your peace of mind more than anything. That's what I'm telling you. Value that peace of mind. Value it. It's very important, though. I realized what the Holy Spirit was telling me in effect was that, see, when Peter was walking on water, what special thing did he have to do before he started sinking? Nothing. You may say, he looked, but it was not an active process. Wind was blowing, just made him check the, as he looked like this, next thing he saw his feet, he had started going down. Where I'm going is that a lot of us are going down spiritually. Material blessings God wants to give us, we are going down. We can't receive it. Why? We don't have peace of mind. And we don't know. We wake up at night, you are solving problems. God said, this is why you won't prosper. You think this is you are being responsible. Say, no, this is the very reason why you will not prosper. You can't pass through a night sleeping without waking up to solve problems and calculate for tomorrow and wonder what you would. Before you start asking God for a miracle, first get that thing out of your life. I'm not kidding. See, it's housing project, building project. The thing has sucked you dry. You've lost weight. Now, when they see, you know, maybe you look, used to look like me. Now you're looking more like Dami than me. Should I tell what God is saying? Get a property valuer to value that property to where it is and give your money back. When your weight is back to what you used to be, sometimes your natural weight is overweight, we know, but you won't die. Look at it. You are not going to die. That means like this. He said, I asked him yesterday, he said it's the will of God. Was that not what he said? So this is how he will enter his destiny. I don't know. No, there are slim people. He's one of those people. Me? If I look like this, akoyeda moi. There is a problem. What I say is Hausa for there's a problem. There's a problem. Nothing wrong with that, but banking looking like that, there's an issue. Just say, Pastor, what house are you carrying? And I'm giving somebody the word of the Lord. Go get a valuer. Go to Jonathan Odu and Associates. Then value it. And pray, lay your hands on the property that before Jonathan comes, it will appreciate in value. And just when you are shaking his hand, you are prophesying. In the name of you, you will see value. When he comes and says, this is what I can get for it, just tell him, God bless you. Give me my money. So why are you saying it? Say, man of God, I've been on this matter for 7 years. I've not breathed well in 7 years. Before I started, I used to breathe normally. I became this snake every night. Don't pray. Sell it. Sell it off. So why? I said, the time is not right. Bishop Odepo told a story. They were building Winners. I don't know whether it's Kaduna or was it Lorin, Kaduna, one of those places. I think it's Kaduna. They were building. He said, those of you who don't know Bishop, I've heard stories about him. He's like that too. That if he feels he's going on the wrong direction, the day he will stop, those of you who are following, you know, without thinking, you realize that you don't have a leader again. He has left. You can keep going. Better check where he is before you so you follow him. He said it himself that one day they were built. The thing was not. He just went there one day. That's where everybody packed. They shut down the site. Didn't talk to anybody. They left. The rods, according to them, they were still sticking out of the ground years later. I don't think he bothered to sell the land. He just abandoned. You don't get my point. He came in the morning. He said, everybody pack, leave. He went back to church and preached normally like nothing happened. All the millions they had invested, he buried it there. Stop talking about it. He just told himself, God is not in this work. I don't know what brought me here. I don't know how I arrived here. But God is not in this thing. He just abandoned it and didn't go back.
Later on, when he wanted to do things, Bishop will tell you that we're starting this. I was in church that day in Winners in Lagos. It was me. Breakthrough seminar in me. He said the World Mission Towers will be dedicated in December. The thing, I think he has seven or how many floors? I don't know how many people know. Yanokwaja at that time. They've left there since. Yanokwaja. I think he has like seven or eight floors. He said we'll dedicate it in December. I came for the dedication in December. Last weekend in May, he said, that building you guys are seeing there, they will demolish it tomorrow. The work will start. Last weekend in May, he said the building will be dedicated in December. December that year, Archbishop Benson Dawosa came. I came in December for the dedication. They completed the building with lift, with everything. Then they will come for the building. They say, if you see the building not going up, it says the workers are not working. It's not lack of money. Says the workers, they are not working. Say, but the money is available. But you wouldn't believe there was a time he walked away from one project. For whatever reason, this thing, God is not in it. Value your peace of mind. Don't joke with it. Oh, I'm going to stop here. I think, like Ijoma said, that's the message for the day. We'll still come back to this issue of that Philippians, this peace of mind. But what, where I was going is that, what does it mean to be born again? Have we read that John chapter 3? Let's just read it so that it will be that we read it. You understand? Uh-huh. Because the way some people, the way Baba Beji is looking at me is as if, Pastor, you say we'll read something. You now want to live without reading it. Now there was a man, that's from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now there are two sides to a man. That which is born of the flesh, Nicodemus, that's what you're talking about, is the flesh. But what I'm talking about, he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is, the spirit of a man is what will be born again when I'm talking about it. Now, let me just stop reading here. Okay, let me just read verse 7. He said, do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. So it's not an unusual thing, because I'm not talking about the flesh being born. I'm talking about what? The spirit, that is the unseen part of the man. The word spirit has a very versatile range of meanings in the scriptures. It said, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. I believe what that is saying is that you see the effect. The word wind, I hope you know, in scripture, is still spirit. It's still the pneuma thing. You understand? Uh-huh. So, the spirit therefore blows. How you know is when you hear the sound of it, but you don't see it. You don't know the direction it's coming from. It says, so, the part of man that makes him behave outwardly in a particular way, so that you hear his sound, you see his deeds, but you can't see that thing itself. It says, so is everyone who is born of the spirit. He's not saying you become unpredictable. What they were just saying is that where your spirit is going, we'll see it outwardly, but we can't see the spirit itself. I hope you're getting my point. Uh-huh. So, when he says spirit here, let's understand something. The spirit refers to the life force inside a man. It includes the drives and the ambitions and all the things pushing somebody up and down. He said you must be what? Born again in that area. That is, when you give your life to Christ, your flesh does not change, but your spirit must change. There are two sides to that spirit. Please, let me just explain it. There is the spirit of a man's side. That is, Jesus looks at you and says, receive new life, new breath. And then, what is working inside you, your emotions, your thoughts, your process, they also come on the second side of that spirit Jesus was talking about. Okay? Now, so how you behave, your thoughts, your ambitions, they also must change. The original spirit I was talking about, that first part, the spirit of man, can be born instantly. But then that begins to work a process in the rest of the inner working of the man. So when the Bible says that the man thinks in his heart, or when it says that it's talking about the quality of the hidden man of the heart, all of those now come inside there. Now, what I'm trying to say is that you must be born again in every area of that spirit. Do you get my point? First, the spirit of Christ must come into you. You get that when you get born again. Then you start being trained. You start laying down some old parts of your spiritual life for a new one. For example, your ambition, your values, they must change. That is when you are being born again. Let me say something that will sound a bit controversial, but if you get it in context, it is not wrong. Yes, you can get born again one day, but then you constantly are being born again in different areas. As you are being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that Paul used the expression, he called the spirit of your mind, that it is a part of your so-called spirit that controls your mind. So when he says mind now, your values, your understanding. Just when we started today, I talked about how you speak about things you don't understand. Your default position about your government, is it that of accusation and cursing or that of blessing and hoping for good for them? What's your default position? You switch from that old one to this new one, then you are born again in that area. Do you get my point?
Yes.
You are starting a business. Why? My mom must find a way to make money. You know, you have to participate. This is near the new market is going. That's the old way. You're starting a business. Why? Well, God has a call for my life. He has given me a gift. I have to bless the generation with it. This is a structure by which I will deploy the gift of God in my life. See, it's different. It's different. Now you're born again in that area. Do you have money? Do you want money? What are you doing with money? You are dead without money. If you don't have money, you can't talk. Nobody will listen to you. That's the old way. That's the old way. But the new way, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Money is a way of exchange. It's a way by which we listen to this. It's a way by which I bless people. Because Paul said, why do you need to work? So that you have something to give. Do you get it? Instruct them who are rich in this world not to be conceited or place their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Let them put their trust, their hope in God. How would they manifest? They are doing good, being generous and ready to share. So your attitude towards money is different. How much money you have been blessed with is how much you have been able to give, not able to eat. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So when you want to assess your life, how much money have I been blessed with is how much have I been able to what? Give. So you want to check how blessed you are. You'll be more eager to give than to get. And actually, it's in scriptures like that. You know the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Can you see? It's a born-again process. Oh, it's a born-again process. Being born again is that process. You are changing from the old worldly order of operating to a new order of operating. You are uninstalling some apps from your operating system and installing some new apps. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. I just looked up now and realized that this reverend has spoken longer than he plans to. Let's just pray. Let's give a lot of thanks.